This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, July 8th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It is a joy. It is always a privilege to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to remind you that Thursday is the traditional day that we remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist by our Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. And this month of July is also the month of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. We continue to pray for all those in the path of Tropical Storm Elsa, which made landfall in Florida on Wednesday, as well as the recovery efforts at the site of the Surfside condo collapse. All those 54 families who lost their loved ones and the 86 that are still accounted for are absolutely in all of our prayers around the country and in so much of our world. Congratulations to the hockey fans in Tampa. It was, I'm sure, a long night last night as the Tampa Bay Lightning wins back-to-back Stanley Cup titles with a 1-0 victory over the Montreal Canadiens in Game 5. Big celebration in Tampa. Last night, it'll continue for a couple of days. 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of the program, that's 888-914-9149. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, and he'll tell us about the 1 Acre Fund. And our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will share how we can find God just about anywhere, even in the middle of the golf course. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. And as you well know by now, we start every single hour giving thanks to the good Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, when we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning, we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 6:33. Our blessed Lord Jesus says, But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. The legendary NFL head coach Vince Lombardi used to say, God, family, Green Bay Packers, in that order. Even though I'm a Chicago Bears fan, his principle resonates with me and perfectly ties into our scripture verse for today. We need to put God number one in our life, and then our family, and then our profession or our vocation, in that order. God one, family second, and then what we do for a living. The Lord needs to be number one in our life, and then everything else falls into place. Make Jesus the Lord of your life and do it today. We always wrap up praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, last month, Pope Francis said that the world must do more to help small food producers. He mentioned that this work is of particular importance in the current time of crisis. And of course, he was talking about the pandemic. Our friend and regular contributor, Harry Kramer, is now joining us to talk about a great initiative that's been supporting the idea of helping small food producers. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Harry. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, John.
Harry, you're a professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management. You meet great students, and I'm sure you've met many over the years with all kinds of great business ideas. Can you tell us about one in particular, former student, Andrew Young? He had some pretty good ideas. What kind of student was he?
He was a fantastic student, and his parents had come from South Korea and settled in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Very bright fellow. He went to Yale as an undergraduate, worked for several years, and then came to Northwestern University, Kellogg School of Management. And it's kind of interesting, John, because consistent with a lot of things you talk about, you know, in my classes, we literally talk about, you know, some of the issues in the world, global poverty, healthcare issues, the digital divide, the environment. We often will tease, well, who's going to deal with these issues? And we usually talk about the fact that there seems to be this magical group of people called those guys. There's some other man or woman someplace. And one of the things we try to talk about is the fact that we are those guys. I mean, doesn't God call every single one of us to make a difference and literally get in the movie rather than watching the movie? And I think Andrew is a phenomenal example for all of us of exactly realizing I can either watch other people talk about things or do things.
And Andrew had a great idea, which ties in perfectly to what our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has been asking us to do when he founded this organization, One Acre Fund.
Yeah, so really interesting story, John. He ended up taking a trip to Kenya between semesters and came back and literally talked to a group of different Kellogg professors and said, you know what, you take a look at what's happening over there and you see all of these people, farmers, and how can we just sort of sit around and watch people starving to death? And if we could get better seeds, better fertilizer, basic irrigation, we could double or triple the crop yield on these farms. Because it turned out that if you were a Kenyan citizen, when Kenya got its independence from the British, you could get a one-acre plot for your family. But the problem was they were using techniques that were so old and the wrong seeds that turns out that they couldn't keep their kids alive. And literally, when he was graduating from Northwestern, he turned down a couple of very big jobs and said, you know what, I'm not taking one of those jobs. I'm moving to Kenya. And he literally, a couple of days after graduation, with a couple of other students, said, you know, that's what we're going to do. So he's moved to Kenya, started in Kenya, and literally now, over the last, I guess, 12, 13 years, started in Kenya, John. He's in Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania. They started in Ethiopia. They've literally doubled or tripled the annual crop yield on more than 1 million farms that has already saved the lives of more than 4 million children. And I brought my 5 children over there, and I talk to him every couple of weeks, and his view is, you know what? Yes, we've done a couple of good things, but we just scratched the surface. He's not coming back, John. He's not coming back. And when he realizes that every $100, $150 by getting these hybrid seeds, better fertilizer, basic irrigation techniques, you can perform an unbelievable thing that allows these folks to grow more crops, to help their children get to school, to be able to get a better, healthy, better education, and really make a difference in the world. And it's been absolutely phenomenal to watch this happen.
Harry, you've had the opportunity to actually see with your own eyes, and obviously Andrew has seen it all these years now that he's actually there. What are the conditions on the ground? Can you give us an idea what it's like in these farms, in places like Kenya and Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania? People can't even begin to imagine here in this country probably the conditions that these folks have to deal with.
Oh, it's truly unbelievable. All you have to do is for somebody to go there and realize we have absolutely nothing to complain about in this country.
Exactly.
I mean, the things that we have, even think about it, John, even in a situation of COVID, you know, when people are wondering whether should I wear a mask and how often do I need to clean my hands, you know, they don't have soap. They don't have basic masks. The percentage of doctors they have is close to zero. And, you know, they're living in little huts, really trying to...
They probably don't even have floors, some of those huts. They just
have
dirt.
Goodness. Absolutely. It's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. And but it's interesting, John, that when you realize because of their families, because they're in a lot of these areas now in Western Kenya, they're raising the crops, they're being able to eat better and educate their children. And when I tell you, you go over there, it was really amazing to me watching two examples when I brought my children over there, John, to your point, you know, they'd have a, you know, many, many children would be kicking a soccer ball that when it would have been thrown out in this country 20 years ago, right, that's kind of wrapped together. And interestingly enough, they're all smiling. They're all waving to you. At the end of the day, they're trying to be happy with exactly what they have. And it was interesting when my daughter was taking a couple pictures, because pictures of them, they didn't know what they were, she was doing. And then when she actually showed them the camera and they could see themselves, for some of these children, it was the first time they ever saw themselves, because they're looking at the picture and they're pointing to one another because they had never seen one another in a mirror before.
Wow, that's amazing, absolutely amazing. How did you get involved with the One Acre Fund and decide to actually become a partner of this organization?
Well, you know, it was fun, John. In my teachings, the first book I ended up doing based on my first class is called From Values to Action. And right after the book came out, I thought, wait a minute, the book's From Values to Action. And I said to Andrew, you are the best example I can think of from values to action. A lot, again, as I said, a lot of people talk about it, but I said, you're actually doing it. So I said, here's the deal. When I'm not teaching, when I'm not serving on a lot of boards, I said, I'll tell you what, at least once a month, I will do leadership talks for companies, associations, you know, churches, colleges, and all of the proceeds from the talks, rather than having a speaker fee, I'll just ask people to make a donation to the One Acre Fund. And if they buy books, any of the three books, all the proceeds from all the books, everything will go to the One Acre Fund. And I said, I do that at least once a month. Well, it's turned out, John, I've averaged about three a week. I've done over 1,000 talks in the last 10 years. And I do it every week. And I realize it's great because I get to spread good leadership values. What are your values? What's your purpose? What matters? What difference do you want to make in the world? And we raise a lot of funds for the One Acre Fund to help Andrew and his team make a difference across all of Africa. So in my mind, it's like the ultimate win-win. When I mentioned that to one of the former deans, I said, boy, we raise a fortune and it's great values. And he said, it's really like a four-fecta. I said, you love doing it. And I hope to do it the next 20 years.
We're joined by Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management. We're talking about the One Acre Fund that's been doing some tremendous work, especially in Africa, to help small farmers. Harry, you invited Andrew Young to be a guest speaker in one of your classes. How was he received? How did your students feel after they heard his message?
I'll tell you, inspiration would be an understatement. And in fact, not only was a guest speaker in a class, usually, as you probably know, John, in large universities, to be the commencement speaker, you know, you're usually 80 years old and you've invented a planet or something. And this gentleman is not even 40 years old. He ended up giving the commencement speech and received an honorary doctor's degree from the entire university. And the number of students that have offered to help him, raise funds for him, and what's really great, start their own nonprofits to make a difference in other areas of the world. It's very interesting. If any of your listeners want to watch it, John, you can. They actually have a website. It's just oneacrefund.org. And if you ever watch these TED Talks, if you watch the TED Talk on the One Acre Fund and the speech he gave on YOUN, it'll literally transform the way people think about things. Realizing first how incredibly fortunate we are, John, and second, this whole idea of what are we waiting for? This is what God's calling us to do. This is what Jesus is calling us to do, to make a difference. And Pope Francis is continuing doing it. So it's almost like I always say, do you realize you're one of those guys? And are you watching the movie? Or are you in the movie? Are you talking about it? Or are you doing something about it? And I think that's what we're all called to do, as you said earlier.
Absolutely. In fact, if anybody's traveled to any of these countries in Africa, to Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania, and has actually seen what conditions are like on the ground in these farms, and they want to chime in and share that experience with us, 888-914-9149, that's 888-914-9149. Harry, you got to feel pretty good that you have an assist in inspiring Andrew to start and launch this amazing project.
Well, I really do believe that as professors, anything we can do to really ignite the next generation to make a difference in the world, and I think Andrew's had that impact on people. And every class I start, I always start with this whole idea of, is it just about your success, or is it about what kind of significance do you want to have? Are you completely focused, John, on building your resume, or are you really thinking to yourself, okay, during my short life, during the short time I'm on this earth, what difference can I make? And it's very interesting. I really do believe, John, it's very easy for people to talk about, you know, the next generation and, well, geez, are they committed? And I find it very inspiring, John, that at least in my generation, if I just try to generalize, I think we wanted to be good people. We wanted to do good. But, you know, first boy, you know, I got to get a house and I got to get a car and I have to build my family. I think a lot of these young people are saying, you know what, I can get started right away. I don't need a house right away. I don't need a car. I can take an Uber or a Lyft or something, but let's get going. And the example that I give you, John, is when I was in school, you know, I'd say the percentage of students that were involved in a nonprofit already as a student, you know, was maybe 5-6% of the students. And at Northwestern Kellogg, more than 90% of the students, John, are already involved in whether it's soup kitchens or Habitat for Humanity or, you know, teaching young children at night. This whole idea, John, of let's get in the movie. Let's make a difference. It's exactly what Pope Francis is calling us to do.
Absolutely. The Holy Father is asking us to get involved, to make a difference, as you say. I'm just curious, is Andrew Catholic?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
absolutely.
Outstanding. Absolutely. So he really is living out his Catholic faith, and he's sacrificing everything, moving from the States to Africa to really make a difference and touch so many lives.
Well, and again, this is not some temporary thing of, well, I'll do this for a couple of months. He actually married a young woman from the UK, and now he, instead of being in Kenya, he lives in Rwanda. They have two small children. I think they're like maybe 2 or 3 years old and 6 months old, and just committed to making a real difference. And you can just watch it when you see the tape of this fellow. The inspiration for it is amazing. I think he's doing exactly what God's called us to do.
And again, we can go to oneacrefund.org. That's oneacrefund.org for much more on the One Acre Fund and the great work that Andrew is doing. How can we plant a seed in our young people, especially in college students, to think about some of these business ideas that can make a difference in so many people's lives?
I think a big part of it, John, and the way I often teach is that everybody's busy, John. Every student is very, very busy. They got a million things going on. John, just like you and I've got a lot going on. And when you have a lot going on and you're conscientious, the typical perspective is we'll just go faster and faster. I mean, how fast can we go so we can get a lot of things done? And I think the big problem, John, is that all of a sudden we confuse productivity and activity. We're very active, but how productive are we? Or are we moving so fast, we don't even know how productive we are? Let's just keep moving. And I try to encourage people to take the time to self-reflect. You and I would call it prayer, and literally say, get off by yourself, turn off the noise, and actually start to pray or reflect and ask yourself some of those key questions. What are my values? What is my purpose? What am I called to do? What difference do I really want to make this short time I'm on this earth? And I think taking a little bit of time to think about that, going through some self-reflection, and I'm so open with the students at Northwestern that, you know, I started this one I started going on the Jesuit retreats that I go on for three silent days of retreat every year up at De Montreville at the Jesuit Retreat Center in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. And by constantly taking a little bit of time to think about that and then doing a personal self-examination at the end of every day, which I encourage all the students to do, it gives them a chance, John, to turn off all the noise and say, well, what am I doing? Because I'm sure you see it, John. You see a lot of successful people, success being monetarily or whatever, and all of a sudden they're, you know, 50 or 60 years old, and they're saying, well, wait a minute, what did I do here? What was this all about how much wealth I had? Was this all about me? And I think the sooner people think about that, the sooner people start to realize, what am I doing and why, and what God has called me to do, I think it has an enormous impact how you live your life, how you treat people, how you prioritize things.
Absolutely.
But you got to get people to slow down and pray in order to do that, I think, John.
Great message. Harry, we're going to have to leave it right there. I think it's so important to make the Lord number one. Everything else falls into place. HarryKramer.org for much more wisdom on any of these issues that we've been talking about. Thank you, Harry, as always.
Take good care, John. God bless. We'll stay in touch.
Many blessings to you. Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Coming up in the next half hour, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will share with us how we can find God just about anywhere, on the beach, on a campground, or even in the middle of the golf course. Stay with us as Morning Air continues. Much more to come here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Now? 30 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll have yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, many folks are going on vacation during these summer months here in July and August. In fact, my family is headed for Florida later this month. We're expecting a really nice vacation, the time to recharge the batteries. In fact, rest is always a good thing for the body and for the soul. How do we make sure that we invite the Lord to our vacation? How do we find him in the middle of the golf course, the beach, or even maybe even camping? Our next guest will talk to us about how we can maintain our spiritual life even during vacation. And now joining us to talk about finding God anywhere, even in the middle of the golf course, is our spiritual director today, Father James Kubicki. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor to this show here on Morning Air. Father Kubicki, good morning. Great to be with you once again. I hope you enjoyed your vacation.
Well, thank you so much, John. Yes, I had a great vacation. It always seems a little too short. It goes by so quickly. And I couldn't help thinking, you know, that word vacation is very similar to the word vacate. And sometimes we might think, well, we're going to vacate our schedule, and part of that vacating our schedule will include vacating our time for God. And so I think it's a good topic that we have today, John, to talk about, you know, vacation as another opportunity to encounter God and to find God in all things. That's one of the hallmarks or slogans of the Jesuit order to which I belong. St. Ignatius was very big on finding God, not just in church, but in all things, and that includes our recreation. And in a particular way for me, I was in central Wisconsin at the Chain of Lakes near Waupaca, and I was at a villa place. It's kind of a vacation place that Jesuits have used since the late 1800s, and I was there with a group of friends that we get together. We couldn't do it last year because of COVID, but a group of Jesuit friends, and it's just a wonderful way. And the way I found God was, first of all, having that sense of not a schedule, you know, where I had to be somewhere at a certain time in the morning, getting up early. I could wake up whenever I woke up, and then have a little breakfast and pray in the beauty that surrounded me, the trees, the beauty of nature, where God is so. It seems so tangible that we see the Creator in His creation. And then we would gather as a group at 11 o'clock for Mass, celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass together, take turns celebrating Mass and preaching. And then at we would have a brief lunch, and then I headed out to the golf course with two of my Jesuit brothers. And one of the things that I find God in the golf course is just the awareness, not only again of the beauty of the day, of nature, but also how when I play golf, if I try to control things too much, it just doesn't work. And so for me, the lesson is learning to let the club do the work and just take an easy swing and not try to force things. And I think that's good advice in our spiritual lives as well, that we don't try to be in control of things, but we take the tools that God gives us, the Mass, the Scripture, prayer devotions that we might have, and we just open ourselves up to God's guidance and grace in that. And I find I pray better, and I'm a better golfer when I do that. So maybe some of our listeners have some advice for us about how to find God on a golf course or in the vacation that you have had or are about to have, how you're planning to find God on your vacation.
Absolutely. A great idea. Any of our listeners that want to be part of this discussion on vacation and the spiritual life, how to find God wherever you go on vacation, give us a call. If you're going on vacation, if you've already been on vacation and you were able to stay connected to the Lord, give us a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Father Kubicki, first of all, I didn't know that you were such an avid golfer. Tell us about your love of golf.
Well, you know, I don't have too much of an opportunity to play out here in South Dakota. We have a little nine-hole course near where I live, but I don't have fellow golfers, and I don't like to just go out on my own. You know, part of it is the friendship, the companionship, playing with friends. And when I was 9 years old, my father was invited to play golf by my brother-in-law, Joe. And my father said, "Oh, golf, come on, that's easy. Anyone can do that." Well, he found out very quickly not anyone can play a good game of golf. And so basically he hung up his fishing poles and took up the game of golf when I was 9 years old. And I became his golfing partner. And
wow.
It was a wonderful way for me to spend time with my father. And every year in the summer during his two-week vacation, we would go around southeastern Wisconsin, trying different golf courses. So, again, it was part of that companionship that I could have with another golfer. So I'm happy because now at the age of 69, 60 years later, I'm playing golf, and it's the kind of sport that one can keep up throughout one's life, I think.
And Father Kubicki, I'm sure that being out there on the golf course, you can't help but think of your dad and the influence that he had on you on how to take the swing and how to be patient. I mean, golf can teach you so much that applies to our spiritual life. I think especially humility. If you think you're good, you may have a rough day that very day.
Well, that's really true. Yeah, one does learn humility on the golf course, and I smiled as you were saying that, John, because you know, I think one of the lessons I learned from my father was not to do what he did, because his tendency was almost a sense of close your eyes and hit the ball as hard as you can,
and just,
you know,
whack it.
Not gonna work. Yeah. So he was not someone who taught me how to take an easy swing.
Sure. Talk to us, Father Kubicki, about, first of all, why it's good to take a vacation to begin with. That's something that I always find so interesting. In fact, our very own Father Rocky here at Relevant Radio always makes a point to recommend take a vacation. We need vacations.
Well, we really do because, you know, we are not just souls and we are not just bodies, but we are body and soul together. And so what's good for the body also helps our soul, our emotional state, our spiritual lives. And so when we get stressed out and overworked, we really need to be aware of the time for good sleep and time to take a break from all our normal activities that might be causing us stress. And so with that in mind, taking a vacation is a very holy and good thing to do because it relaxes our body, which hopefully will help us also be more prayerful, more quiet, to slow down, as it were, you know, as they say, to take time to smell the flowers. I would say take time to smell the flowers, which reveal to us something about God's goodness and beauty. And so I really highly recommend, you know, if our listeners are traveling across the country, you know, to approach it not just as, well, let's hurry up and race to get there so that we can relax, but to try to take a relaxing approach to the entire vacation. And, you know, part of it, I know there are different ways on the Internet that one can find out when there are masses available in churches along the way or parishes, but I think that's a very important part, not to leave God behind on our vacations, but to really make a point and make an effort to celebrate Mass. And that can be a really wonderful thing to see how different parishes and communities celebrate Mass and come together to worship God. So that can be an important part of our vacations as well.
Absolutely. In fact, as a baseball family, we always make it a priority to find out where the Masses are, especially when we travel out of town for my son's travel baseball games on the weekends. Always find a Sunday Mass that's available. Terry is calling us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Terry, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us here on Morning Air. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Well, good morning to everyone. I just wanted to say, when we're on vacation, like when my family and I are up north in Wisconsin, just the silence to listen to the wind in the trees, and you can see the waves on the lake and fish swimming and birds that are doing all sorts of things, all of nature, and to send a thought up to who sent all of this down to us. You know, nature and the world itself is a prayer and a gift from God. And we're right in the middle of it. So I think we should take note of this and really enjoy it. And
right,
send a,
Terry,
you know,
that's great
to
advice.
God to thank him.
That's great advice. You know, the slowing down and the silence, you know. I'm always, you know, when people are out in nature and then they have a radio blaring or music, you know, it seems so incongruous because, you know, part of that beauty of nature is slowing down, listening to the birds, the frogs, whatever it may be, and to find God in that. So I think the reminder of when we go on vacation and relax to open ourselves up to the beauty around us, and part of that is also the silence that can help us focus on that beauty. So great advice, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Father, we're going to take a short break. We're going to continue our conversation with Father James Kubicki, talking about how we can find God just about anywhere, even while we're camping on the lake or even on the golf course. So stay with us. There's much more to come. In fact, if you have a question or a comment, you want to be with us, 888-914-9149. We'll have much more after the break. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
45 minutes after the hour, as Morning Air continues, welcome back. I'm John Morales. As we're talking with Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director, about finding God just about anywhere, even in the middle of the golf course. And Father, before the break, we were talking about your Jesuit perspective on this. St. Ignatius, taught so much about recreation and how it's so important that we take vacations and also always try to find the Lord, no matter where we're at.
That's right. It's one of the slogans or mottos. The motto of the Society of Jesus is for the greater glory of God. And I can't help thinking of St. Irenaeus, who we celebrated just a few weeks ago, and his line that the glory of God is the human person fully alive. And fully alive, doesn't mean we're in the pink of health always. Fully alive means also fully alive spiritually, and having the joy that Jesus gives us. And so to find God in all things is a way that we become more joy-filled persons and more, because I think the temptation, the original sin, of our ancestral parents, Adam and Eve, was to take the focus off of God and to put it on themselves and with their own fears and worries. And so vacation is a great opportunity for us to slow down, to take our focus off ourselves and put it on God, present to us in nature or in whatever family activity we're doing, among friends, whatever it may be. The thing that brings us together ultimately is God. And so we want to keep that focus on God and find God on the golf course or on the lake when we're fishing, whatever activity it is that helps us renew ourselves both physically, emotionally, but also spiritually.
And speaking of the golf course, you've resonated with our listeners. We have a call talking a little bit about golf and faith. Mike is joining us from Orlando. Mike, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Great, good. Mike.
Excellent. Yeah, something that resonated with me with Father Kubicki was the golf course. I've been playing golf for about 42 years now, since I was the age of five with my father. And, one of the things as I grew older was patience. And it's really helped me turn my game around by just, letting go, and being patient on the golf course and being one with nature. And when we're all on the golf course, we all somehow or another pray that we're going to hit a good shot. And being patient in letting go and letting God and praying that those shots come about has really affected my game in my later years in life.
Wow. Great advice, Mike. And, I can't help thinking as you share that with us, patience, letting go, letting God. For me, another aspect of that is also, one shot at a time. When I start worrying about, okay, now I've had a bad shot, how am I going to recover, that kind of thing. But just, again, to focus on the one shot at a time, which is another way for me to practice patience in terms of not worrying, but trying to live one step at a time, one day at a time. So great advice for us. I'm glad you're able to find a God and learn those lessons on the golf course, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. You guys, yep.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yep.
Many blessings. We go from Florida to the west coast of California. Denise is calling us from Southern California. Good morning, Denise. Welcome.
Good morning. I love the conversation this morning since we're going on vacation this weekend. So one thing that we like to do is we always bring holy water with us. And so whether mm-hmm. we're staying camping or going in a hotel room, we like to bless the area and make sure that, we have God, our guardian angels are with us and all of his saints. And, if we're on a road trip, we like to pray our rosary. That's one thing that, keeps us focused on God while we're not home. And then the other thing that we do is, when we're in a hotel room, we have little mini images of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And so we like to make like a little mini altar space that we have. It's our little traveling prayer space while we're on vacation. So that's just one of the things that we've gotten to the habit of doing.
Wow, Lori, I love the practicality there. It's just great practical advice for all of us to have those reminders, some small holy pictures or icons or things that we can put in our hotel room. The holy water, that's a great idea to bring that sacramental that the church has given us of water that reminds us not only of our baptism, but also it really is a way of invoking the protection of the angels and of the saints and God. And to pray the rosary while you're in the car traveling. You know, for me, I always remember when I was a junior in high school, I went on a camping trip with five other high school students and a Jesuit priest. And we began the trip leaving Milwaukee, heading up north, by praying the rosary. And I have to say, you know, at first we were kind of reluctant to pray that. We didn't think that was cool. But by the end of that two-week camping trip, I had gotten into the habit of praying the rosary and praying it in the car. And so that's a great way to bring the help that the church gives us and our Blessed Mother, to invite her to be part of our drive as well. So thanks for that advice, Lori.
Thank you so much, and the advice is very practical, especially in these times during the pandemic where you couldn't actually access holy water. A lot of parishes here in the Chicago area were handing out little holy water bottles that you could take home, so you have no excuse to never have holy water with you. In fact, I keep a little holy water bottle in my office. I have another one in my car, so it's great advice. I appreciate that call from Denise in Southern California.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Father, talk about some of the temptations that we can fall into while we're on vacation. It's so easy to get lazy and just kind of just veg out and do nothing.
Well, you're right. And that's, I think you just nailed it right there, John. You know, the temptation to laziness. Yes, it's good. You know, we don't want to be racing around and being so busy in our vacation. But we also want to avoid the laziness of that leads us to think, okay, it's vacation. That means I don't have to go to Mass, or I don't have to pray, or God, you know, I leave God behind at home or in my workplace. No, we want to be sure to take God along. So I think. The way that Denise talked about those practical ways of reminding ourselves that we are Christians, we're followers of Jesus, that God is with us, it helps us then when we are out on the golf course or in a boat fishing or water skiing, whatever it may be, to just be more sensitive to God's presence in the world around us and in the activities that we're doing. So I think to have to avoid that kind of laziness in our spiritual lives is an important part of avoiding the temptation to leave God behind when we're on vacation.
And I think it's also important to remind ourselves that just because we're on vacation doesn't mean we're on vacation from our Sunday obligation of going to Mass on Sunday.
Right. There may be places that we are at where we're not able to go to Mass. But even there, I think, you know, taking along the little spiritual helps like the Magnificat magazine, prayer book, to have those prayer books with us so that if we're in a place where perchance we are not able to attend Mass, to have a family prayer service, to read the readings of the day. All of those are wonderful ways that we can continue to worship God, even if we're unable to participate in Mass because we're traveling or we're in a place where we're not able to join a community for Mass.
There's a lot of folks who sometimes find it very difficult to find a mass, but where there's a will, there's a way. You sometimes just have to go the extra mile to find out. You got to go to mass times. You got to look it up on the internet. You got to just open your eyes and find out where there's a parish nearby that you can, you know, make it part of your vacation.
Yeah, you're right, John. And with the internet now, and websites that allow us to find masses wherever we are, there's really no excuse not to find that. You know, we use our devices to find restaurants or gas stations or all kinds of different things. We can certainly use them to find the places where we can join a community to worship God on the weekend.
Father, we have time for one more quick call. RJ is calling us from San Jose, California. RJ, quickly, we're up against the clock. What is your question for Father Kubicki?
Oh, yes, Father. I met a young man. I like fish a lot, so I've been fishing striped bass, and met him, and he likes to fish. And he's 19 years old. He goes to Cal Poly. I found out through our conversations that he was Catholic, and his parents raised him up quite well. And his first question, we go fish, is how it is essential, how it is essential to our faith. And then the other thing is how it is the sacred body and blood of Jesus. So he's wanting to. Father.
Loaded Hi. Question. Thank you, Hi. RJ. Father, we have about 30 seconds.
Okay. I know I've talked with RJ before, and off the air and on the air, and I didn't quite catch it. He's cutting out there a little bit, but I think, you know, the point is that when we're out fishing or doing something, we might encounter strangers, and they may have a question for us about how why we believe what we believe. So, I think just being ready, if we're in a good state of mind, we can share our faith wherever we are as well.
Absolutely. Well, Father, as always, thank you so much for talking about this issue. So important, a spiritual perspective during our vacations. Thank you, Father James Kubicki.
You're welcome. God bless everyone.
Blessings to you. Father James Kubicki, and of course, you can listen to him on Relevant Radio with his daily prayer reflections every single day. Now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Their Death Validated Their Message. It's by Leith Anderson. At the 100th anniversary of the arrival of missionaries in Zaire, Christians gathered to celebrate from that part of Zaire that was once called the Belgian Congo. Near the end of the celebration, a very old man stood to give a speech. He said that he'd die soon and he needed to tell something that no other man still living knew. He explained that when the first white missionaries came, his people didn't know whether to believe their message or not, so they devised a plan to slowly and secretly poison the missionaries and watch them die. One by one, children and adults became ill, died, and were buried. It was when his people saw how these missionaries died, they decided to believe their message. The missionaries never knew what was happening. They didn't know they were being poisoned, and they didn't know why they were dying. Their faithfulness to the Lord convinced the people they ministered to that their message was true. From Revelation 2:10, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life."
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just email us, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. And I want to remind you, you can join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central, every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio. And that'll do it on this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.